Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Kindness gives birth to kindness. On today's Wednesdays with Willa podcast, we're going to be discussing living in the vibration of kindness. And I am very excited to explore this topic. I have a special guest on the show, and I'll go ahead and introduce her right now. We have Patricia Bell with us today. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, Willa. Always a pleasure to be here with you. And yes, kindness is something that we see a lot of memes about, don't we, on Facebook.
We do.
And being kind and things like that. But I have to say, as you well know, about my involvement with the children's program,
yeah.
My favorite principle is number 6 in the children's principles. Be kind, do good, and others will do the same.
Absolutely. It's a good one. Before we get into things, I want to introduce you a little bit further because some people might not know who Patricia Bell is. So Patricia Bell is a registered Lilydale medium for decades now. You've been here at Lilydale. Helping people, and I know that you also serve through healing as well, so mediumship and healing are near and dear to your heart, and you're also a world traveler and enjoy going different spaces and places and enjoying the energy and what you learn from some of the beautiful spiritual masters, like we've talked about before, Amma, when you've been on the show, and the love that is there for all of us. And for those of you who are just tuning in this morning, this is Wednesdays with Willa. It's a weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. Also goes out through the Lilydale Assembly page. Both Patricia and I are registered Lilydale mediums, and it's been wonderful to connect with Patricia over the years and have her share some of her the sweetest spaces and places within herself when she comes on the show. So I encourage you to look back at the archive videos of the show. If you type in Willa White, Patricia Bell, you'll be able to find the other shows that we've done together and learn as needed. So this also goes on Blog Talk Radio. For those who are listening on blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio, I'm part of the Lilydale Radio family, and there's a whole slew of shows that have just been added. So you can listen to your heart's content. This is year 6 of Wednesdays with Willa, so you've got lots of past shows that you can listen to or view on my Facebook page or YouTube channel. A lot of people tell me they binge-watch the show and that they really enjoy all the different guests and topics that we have. And today we're fortunate to have with us Patricia Bell, and we're going to be talking about living in the vibration of kindness. So I think we should start with defining kindness to some extent for people, right? And what people interpret as kindness, because they don't always have the same agreement of what's kind.
Absolutely. But shall you start defining it?
Sure, I'll start if you'd like. I know when I looked it up, because sometimes it's fun to look at the derivation of words, it's the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. And it does come from Old English, kindness, which is a K-Y instead of a K-I, K-Y-N-D-N-E-S, which means nation, and it has its roots in that word kin, which is, you know, relates to one's family, one's race, one's relations, and that word eventually, it evolved by the 14th century into what is our modern understanding of kindness, which usually is defined as courtesy or noble deeds, which kind of brings to mind that idea of chivalry and things that are of honor.
It's all that. Plus, you know, I'm so glad that you mentioned of nation, we could also consider kindred spirits.
Ooh, yes, yes.
Right? Kindred, the kind spirits that resonate with one another. And how we can spiritually understand that for ourselves so that we emanate this kind of frequency. Because to me, I spent some time studying heart math. In fact, I was one of the first people that introduced the heart math people in 2000 at the Nexus Convention in San Francisco. And they have found how our heart emanates this energy through our obvious auric field. And I know you know about that, Willa, but can you imagine by being kind how we emanate that energy? Now, they have found there are 40,000 different cells in the heart that are different from the brain that seem to be pulsating and frequency that can emanate from the heart, which is friendly, generous, courteous, polite, and all the things you mentioned. And I am really excited about it because it says to me in my heart, wow, we're all built to be kindred spirits and kind.
Beautifully stated. And it's so, so very true that we have that. And I'm excited with you that it shows up that science is catching up, right? That science is catching up with what is possible. Last week when we talked about energetics and movement, when Nancy Lombardo was on the show, I shared about hope molecules and how when we move, it actually releases what scientists term hope molecules. And now here we are talking about the heart and what is emanating from the heart that researchers are getting on track with. So that's really exciting.
And now they've also found what they call neurons in the brain, which create that mirroring image.
Yes, mirror neurons.
So
yes.
If I am kind, and you are kind, we're setting that mirror.
Yes.
For all our kindred spirits. And it's so awesome. It is so awesome because our vibration and our frequency is more powerful than we ever thought.
Yes.
And science is saying, no. It's more than, you are more than who you've assumed you to be, right?
Yes.
And, you know, to me, spiritualism has always addressed the fact of personal responsibility for our what we think, what we feel, and what we do. Whoa. Take us back to ourselves. What are our thoughts? What are we mirroring? What are our feelings? What is our heart saying to the world? And then, of course, what are the actions?
Yes, there's a combination of word, divine word, and divine action that happens there. Yes.
Exactly. And so in order to harmonize who we truly are, we have to put it all together.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
You know, and make it into the situation where we really become responsible for those thoughts and those feelings. This is a sort of sidebar story. It was about an old sage who was able to bring rain to a village. And what happened is a village that was experiencing drought invited him to come. So he walked through the village and he said, okay, I will help you, but I need to stay on the outskirts of the village. Mm. And you're like, well, if that's what you want. And he did. And within 3 days, the village had rain. And so the head of the village came to him and said, so how did this happen? And he said, I came into your village and there lacked harmony. So I had to set outside of the village to bring harmony inside the village so that you could have balanced weather. And the story was so powerful because to me it shows how we as human beings can infect and affect an entire village.
Yes.
And so by being kindred spirits, by being kind, by mirroring it to one another, you know, it's like, but isn't that what attracts people? You know, I want to be with somebody that's kind.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we've had some grumpy times here.
Yes. But we don't have to perpetuate them either. And I
no.
think that's the big thing. It's sometimes if you find yourself having difficulty being kind, or if you feel that you're challenged in your relationships with others that you feel have been unkind, there are some things that we can do within ourselves to address that energy, even when we might have the grumpies or other people have the grumpies.
Exactly. And that's why understanding kindness and how we live in that frequency is so important to all of us. You know, Dr. Daniel Amen says, in the morning, wake up and tell yourself, I am going to have a terrific day because, or I am going to do this or that, because you're starting off by telling your subconscious mind what kind of vibration you want to create. Now, it's really interesting because for some people, this is a time of Lent, and they give up certain things. Well, I have a friend who's an Anglican, and she said, well, rather than giving up the cookies and cakes, what we did, we decided we would do acts of kindness. And I really like that. Can you imagine, Willa, 40 days of acts of kindness? And how that can spread, and that sounded really like what a positive sort of thing to put out there. So maybe we don't need Lent to do that, but we can say, okay, maybe for whatever we want to celebrate. It's like, you know, the monks come to visit us in Lilydale, and they have an intention when they make the sand mandala. And the Dalai Lama has spoken of the fact that his religion is loving kindness. So here we got intention about loving kindness, acts of kindness, things that we can consider. And it all is so much a part of our spiritual kinship.
I agree, and I do feel that with Lent you can do those acts of kindness, but it's also a time for you to recognize what you can do without. There's a kind of discipline that comes in with, like, the cakes and the cookies, like that example. There's a discipline, and that helps us to be perhaps more empathetic to people who have to do without because of financial means or because of their particular situation. I feel like there's a training of compassion that happens during Lent, and there's an interior training that's going on during that time to be disciplined, but then also, as you said, to give to others, to have awareness of what we're feeding ourselves and what we're giving out. You know, that is really an important aspect of that loving kindness, that we treat our bodies and our minds and our souls with that level of respect and self-mastery, and that we also extend that to others, that loving kindness, as you said. And, you know, there's a quote by Sophocles. He's like one of the famous Greek tragedy playwrights. which I think is hilarious that he actually has a quote about kindness. He wrote tragedies, but it probably, you know, like when you, oh, like all the different Greek tragedies, if you've ever watched one of those plays, they're pretty intense. But he says, kindness gives birth to kindness. So when you are in that frequency of kindness, you actually are birthing more. You're creating more in that, in that, that the frequency waves that you're creating, they go extend beyond your little circle of influence and outward into the world. And it creates not just the ripple effect, but the spiritual energy that surrounds us all. And at some point a little bit later on, I think it'd be cool to tie this into some of the virtues too. So,
absolutely. I'd like to talk about, since today is Women's Day, I'd like to bring up a woman who I admire incredibly. Her name is Audrey Hepburn. Some of us have seen her in My Fair Lady, Roman Holiday, you know, Breakfast at Tiffany's. What most people don't realize that her beginning of her life was very tragic due to the World War. And that when she was in the Netherlands, she was actually without food and things like that during the war. And that when the Red Cross came in and gave her that first chocolate bar, it was like absolutely amazing. But what takes my heart to her is that despite all her fame and fortune, when UNICEF asked her to be the ambassador for them, she went to every place where there were starving children. And she held them. She helped raise money, yes. But, you know, when you look at the photographs of how she touched their lives, because she understood what kindness meant, how coming to feed her as a child, how she could share that kindness physically with these kids. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so I know that within all our grumpy, bumpy parts of ourselves, that if we could tap into that grumpy, bumpy parts of ourselves and other people and say, wow, maybe I can feed them some kindness so they don't have to be as contracted. Because kindness and being kind to yourself is very expansive.
Mm-hmm. And I love your example of she had a kindness given to her in while she had been experiencing personal tragedy. So in the midst of personal tragedy, sometimes that's when we most need that kind word or that kind deed. And then what happens is it takes root in a person and they really want to extend that beyond and have somebody else feel that level of compassion, that level of kindness, so that's what is happening in the world instead of the tragedy. So thank you for sharing about Audrey Hepburn. Yeah, she's great.
She is, and very elegant lady, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her smile. But, you know, the other thing, Willa, as you and I both know, that when people lose people, that it's hard for the person who is in that grief to say, would ask for even help because they're going through what they have. But I know for myself that every person who came by in my life during a loss, that from their heart, their act of kindness, whether it was dropping off a dish at my house because of somebody passing or somebody ill or a breakup in a relationship, you remember that and say, wow, that is so uplifting. because it lets me know that I'm not alone and that there is this caring, loving energy in the world that can get us through almost anything. You know? As moms, you know, sometimes we really need that support, especially if our children are going through things. But, or even our dogs or our cats, oh my gosh, the support from others and it's so much bigger than we think it is. But yet the acts don't have to be that big. It's not like, oh, I've donated $1 million to such and such. No, have you given yourself?
Yeah.
What piece of you did you put into that casserole? What piece of you made that chicken soup? And that is loving kindness, you know? Or even when you do it for your animals or anybody, they respond differently because they don't have as much yama yama in their head, you know? And then they just cuddle up. Did you ever watch, like, baby animals with their mom and how they just nurture each other? And it makes you smile because it's that loving kindness right in front of your eyes. And it just says a lot, doesn't it?
I think you're talking about that kindness, that generosity that comes when you're nurturing another person, be it nourishing them through food or through another act or just sitting with them as they need in those instances. And that love is not always about this idea of the grand gesture. It's about those small acts of kindness that really make the difference. And I loved your example of those things, and it's those small deeds. So like in training, because you train your children, right? And we're training ourselves, we're training our children. So you're trying to instill virtues in them or bring out those virtues, maybe a better way of saying that, of kindness and patience and forbearance and manners, right? All of those kinds of virtues, the courage, humility, those kinds of aspects that are when I think about kindness, I think of those as kind of like offshoots of kindness and almost like they're circling around, like they're planets around that sun. And they have these virtues that all kind of center in around that loving kindness. And it can be a matter of, like you said, bringing a special dish or just sharing that moment or carrying a neighbor's groceries in or, you know, giving them a phone call and checking in and saying, how are you doing? Something simple like that or a quick note of encouragement can make a big difference in someone's life where they might have been feeling very tippy and then they feel seen without being completely vulnerable.
Exactly. And, you know, as you talk about the virtues, I also think of the authority that we have within us to light up every one of those virtues. That virtues aren't something outside of us. They're so, we have that authority inside of us to say, oh, wow, yes, I can do all of that, that forbearance, that all the kindness, the courtesy, all of this, because I have that authority. And that, to me, just shows how wonderful we are inside, that we can make these choices that can affect an entire village.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, I think about another sort of sidebar story. It's, and you've probably heard it, it's called Stone Soup. And there was that village that was without food. and somebody took a huge pot and put it in the middle of the town and put a carrot in there with boiling water. And then everybody in the village brought their little potato or whatever they had, and it made enough soup to feed everybody. Now, wasn't it kind for everyone to take whatever little they had to put it together for everybody? That, I think it's, you know, it's that kind of action which encompasses every single virtue you talk about.
Yes, and that's one of our favorite stories. We actually have three copies in our house of the stone soup story. And it is that sometimes it takes a person going, okay, I'm putting the stone in the water. It's magic. A little bit of that little idea of the let's make something out of nothing, right? And then all it takes is encouraging, well, you know what we really need. And it wasn't like the person who set up that stone soup, that stranger who was hungry himself. It's not like he set it up of demanding you go and get your carrot. I know you've got potatoes hiding. I know you've been keeping that meat aside, not sharing it with your neighbor. He didn't do that. He just said, you know what would be nice? What would make this even better? See, there is an energy of putting it out there for that person to then bring that kindness without pointing at someone and saying, because you didn't give this to us, we don't have good tasting soup. Because you're doing this or that or the other and withholding. So there has to be that energy that allows for reciprocity, that allows for generosity without demanding that it be so. And so in the training of children and the training of people, it's about saying, you know, I see that you just were kind with that person. You know, thank you for setting the table. What a kind act. You know, it's those kinds of, we say kind again and again, but it's those kinds of things that help a person to feel seen for their action without saying, well, I'm so glad you finally did this. There's an attitude of accepting someone's kindness that's part of begetting more kindness.
Yes, and it's that awareness that you're addressing that, you know, this person is really being kind. And how does that touch my kindness? It's like the story about paying it forward. Yeah. That somebody has done something wonderful or something kind for you, and you, like the ripples in the water, are able to pay it forward, to let it happen in such a way that it can affect an entire village. And so some people say to me, well, how can I create kindness in my home, my village? And it's like, well, we have to start by using our own personal authority, don't you think?
Yes. You know, we have to maintain.
You're an authority,
yes,
showing the road, you know, the tour guide, the pathfinder, to what is value.
Yeah.
And then we also have people say, I just wish it was a kinder, gentler world. Well, we have to illustrate that by mirroring kindness and gentleness. Because I don't know, Willa, somewhere we went down the wrong street where, you know, strength by intimidation. They wrote a book about that. And it's like, what? You know, that's going to get burnt out eventually.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the return of kindness. And I really believe the stars in the sky are requesting us to return to kindness. because this is a time where the opportunity of using our creativity, our imagination, our, you know, can allow us to tap into our higher spirituality.
And this is our time. The time is now. And sometimes I'll read or I'll watch a podcast by Eckhart Tolle. You know who Eckhart Tolle is. He wrote, for those of you who don't know, he wrote The Power of Now, and he's a wonderful spiritual teacher. And he talks about the frequency of presence. So the frequency of presence is about bringing love and bringing your soul's awareness of presence to your interactions with yourself and with others. And that when you are attuning yourself to that frequency of presence, then you're engaging with compassion. And you have a level of authority. I love that you chose that word, Patricia. It's so perfect. You have a level of authority that you see that it's not about what happens to you. It's how you react to it that dictates the event. And so if you're in a mode of, I just want them to be nicer, or aren't they being mean, and they happen to do something nice, and you're thinking, that was just a little drop in the bucket. Nothing, it didn't fill up the bucket like they should, right? There's a bring yourself back to presence, be grateful for the drop of kindness they gave, and you know, don't point out, well, that's 14 years late, or that you should have done that last week. And so Eckhart Tolle was also talking in terms of the frequency of presence, that it's easy to go and do that with certain people, right? But who are you in your own home with people? Can you maintain that in the everyday sense when you have to chop wood, carry water? It's that kind of effect of, you know, you should have taken out the trash. Why didn't you do that? The little petty things, and you missed the point where they did the dishes. You missed the point where they shoveled the walkway. You're overlooking those things because you weren't in that frequency of presence and that frequency of kindness.
And you know, he's absolutely right, because it brings us back to, are you being kind to yourself? You know, when you wake up in the morning, do you just say, hey, Willa, you're wonderful. and know that in that wonderment, all right, that you can explore each moment of your life. And it's like doing the little things. I notice it most of all with my cat. She just glows when she is getting a treat, or purrs when she's being petted, you know, and it just illustrates, no, I'm not forced to give her a treat, and I'm not forced to pet her, but my kindness towards this wee animal is so appreciated. And by us being present and appreciating our environment, I mean, we're so blessed in so many ways to be healthy and happy and have this, to even be here on Zoom with everybody.
Yes.
How awesome is that? I mean, it's a blessing. And just being able to be here and have that opportunity to be kind.
Mm-hmm. And to express that in the fullest way that you can at that particular moment. And I do think that in terms of kindness, the self-kindness is crucial. And then also finding a measure of forgiveness for people who have been unkind. And also possibly seeking forgiveness to some extent when you think back and go, gosh, that was unkind, or I missed that because I was in the midst of something else in my own life or my own thought processes. And that, so there's a, with this kindness frequency, this frequency of that vibration, I think going into the importance of compassionate forgiveness really helps us to launch and stay more in that space. Because if we're holding on that tightness, then the energy is engaged and too invested in that. And it's not opening to allowing you to be the channel of receiving and giving out that kindness.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I had an encounter with an unkind person. And I chose to do a forgiveness ritual for 8 days. And in the process of doing this forgiveness ritual, which happened to do with prayer and things like that, I asked to show me what was the lesson that I needed to learn from this unkind act. Was I being unkind to me? Is that why did I emanate that frequency out there?
Right.
Was I not being present to be grateful for what I had? And to look at all these different aspects through the idea of forgiving, but also releasing.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. The contraction that I may have felt so that I can get my frequency back to alignment.
It kind of goes into the understanding of spiritual natural law. Yes, we have the law of attraction, and the law of resonance is what really helps the law of attraction to work, and the law of creative reality. And then we have the law of karma. And sometimes we're in that space of, well, do kind people, because they're paying it forward, have this wonderful accumulation of good karma, and that's why good things happen to them? Or because there are unkind people, and they seem to be getting away with it on some level when you're looking at this, and then you're thinking, is that why I had this unkind thing happen to me? So people can really fall down the rabbit hole of overthinking this, is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. But the thing is, if there's a message during your forgiveness rituals that says something to you, and maybe it just means, maybe all it is be kinder to yourself, Patricia. Maybe you overly exhausted yourself that day. Or something of that, and not getting totally complicated about it, but just going back to those 40,000 cells in your heart and saying, okay, yes, you know, I can be kind to me, and I can shift that vibration inside of me, which in turn will work. But as far as other people who seemingly being unkind are, well, what is success? You ask yourself. Okay, this person, they got $10 million, but they are nasty, you know, and they treat waitresses badly and all kinds of people around them. Is that really success? I mean, it's perception, isn't it, in a way, about who has what. And I was in Africa, and I went into this orphanage, and there were all these bubbly-eyed little children there. And this little boy came up to me with a smile as big as his face, with a bowl of rice, and wanted to share it with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget him. What kindness, what generosity of spirit. Here's a child that didn't think about his next meal, but just knew he had something special to share. And so I knelt down and I smiled back as big as I could. And I did take some of his rice to know I really appreciated what he was doing. And I thanked him and hugged him. And that's why I can relate to what Audrey Hepburn did because when I had that experience, I know how it changed me. How forever in my heart is that little boy, and in my prayers and everything else.
Yeah.
And thinking about those young people in Africa who may not have what our children, what we have here. And kindness is really from within. And then we share it on the outside. But, you know, I don't know whether having fancy cars and big houses and all kinds of that necessarily means success. To me, that little boy was a success.
Yes. That is a success story of being able and willing to share whatever you have in those moments. It doesn't mean he has to give you all of the rice. It's not like you say, well, he didn't give me all the rice, so he wasn't being kind. It was, he was sharing his rice with me. There's a different understanding of that measure of kindness, of how much effort it does take for a person to be kind sometimes, to give what they have, or in the midst of their busy life, to take a moment and share it with you, with us. You know, like I just feel grateful when people do that, when they extend something to me and I didn't expect it, and just feel very, very blessed that I got to have a portion of their thought that day. It's very special.
Exactly. Even if it's just holding the door open for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're juggling a bunch of packages and somebody holds the door open for you. Isn't that that you were that thought for that day?
Yes.
How awesome is that? Or somebody even let you in while you're driving and you need to get into that lane. You know, kindness doesn't have to be overwhelming. But, you know, I think about it and I think, wow, bless you. Bless you for your kindness.
Bless you for your kindness. And we also have to bless the people who are unkind. And
it's
kind of like, I don't feel like blessing them right now. but it's that sense of, well, it's better to bless them. There's one of my favorite movies to watch is that Jimmy Stewart movie, Harvey, and he's talking to the puka, and his character is Elwood P. Dodd, and he is pleasant. He's very, very pleasant, and he explains how his mother said that it's better to be pleasant than to be right, because so often people want to be right, and there's a righteousness that comes into play, and in that movie, he's other people are trying to maneuver him, shall we say, through that experience, and all he does is he really personifies, in my opinion, that frequency of presence and of kindness. That frequency of kindness is very present throughout his character and his interactions. And then people, they can't help it, but they start treating him kindly too. It's almost like it starts to catch a little bit with certain folks.
Well, it is contagious.
Yes.
Just as, you know, the angry mob. Let's have the kindness group, you know, that there are these acts of kindness. And it's something that it's not going to cost anybody anything, just like that little boy in Africa. But it's something who we are inherently inside of us with those cells in our heart.
Yes.
And it has shown that when we activate these cells, that it gives us a healthier life.
Yeah, it's like the Grinch. Remember, his heart was all like really like a stone and shrivelly and nasty. And then all of a sudden his heart, all those little heart cells went boom. And because he finally got the kindness and he understood the who's at Christmas. So there's that expansiveness in the chest and in the heart as he finally lets life in, because he was living in such a reclusiveness from the society, thinking that that he was so much different in his perceptions. The cynicism had taken hold of him so much that he was unforgiving. He's unforgiving. So sometimes people who are unkind, they're having an unforgiving. I look at it and go, they're not forgiving something. A lot of times it's they're not forgiving. And there's a really cool story I just want to share real quick that I of an interaction between William Law, who's a Christian mystic, and John Wesley, who is the founder of the Methodist faith. And they were both Christian, and William Law actually inspired John Wesley a lot in his development, but they disagreed on a few key points. And at one point in their discussions, William Law asks John Wesley, if God can forgive each person his or her 9,099 sins every minute, can we not forgive other persons just one of theirs? And that Protestant reformer John Wesley says, sir, I never forgive. And then he says, then I hope, sir, you never do anything wrong. And I was like, there we go, because people think, I'm so kind, I'm so generous. Why aren't they seeing this? Why aren't they appreciating what I do for them? And it's like, well, are you forgiving them for that? Are you forgiving a person for not showing up for you in the same way that you're showing up for them? So there's some interesting things that happen with kindness. And when we want to be in that true vibration of kindness, we have to get into the place of love and forgiveness and that divine sense of presence. And we always kind of check ourselves to get back into that mode and forgive the people who are unkind, forgive the people who didn't show up the way you thought they should show up for you, and move on.
And you're absolutely right, because to me, this is a spiritual practice.
Yes.
It truly is a spiritual practice. So those of us who are walking a path, we learn that by being kind, it's a spiritual practice. But I really believe, as you do, with the authorship and being kind to yourself first, mm-hmm. because then it's not just, oh, I think I'll be kind to him, so I'll get back this.
Right.
It's a actual spiritual practice of kindness. You know, it's like of caring, of generosity, and, you know, touching someone, you know, that may feel like nobody's touched them or hugged them in a while.
Yeah, and that's an important word that you just said, practice. So those of you who are tuning in today, Patricia and I are not putting ourselves up on a pedestal and saying that we're absolutely perfect and that we're kind 110% of the time. We're both human, and these human things happen. My definition of a saint is not someone who goes and lives in a cave and says, om. It's really easy to be saintly when you don't have to interact with people. When you have to actually interact and, like, live among people and find a measure of grace, there we have it, folks, in my opinion. And, you know, it truly is a practice. So take to heart what Patricia said. The word practice, it is a spiritual practice. You are practicing kindness. When you desire to live in the vibrational frequency of kindness, you recognize when you're off that vibrational frequency, and then you set yourself back in there. You say, oops, I slipped, and now you get back into that. And then eventually it's a bit more on automatic pilot, and where you were recognizing that you weren't kind a lot of the times, I did badly about that, if you're reviewing your day. And then as you get closer and closer in the spiritual practice, you might go, wow, I don't feel like I have to hammer at myself so much for what happened today. I can find that I did hold myself more accountable and live in that vibrational frequency of kindness. So there's a self-checking that goes on when you're wanting to do this.
And there's a feeling that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time you've done something kind for somebody, Willa, didn't your heart just feel good?
Yeah.
And so we are self-checking, we're practicing, but the more that we feel good in our heart, that's going to pull us in a very natural way to practice kindness, to be able to really be humane beings that are kind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's about doing that good turn daily. You know, my children have been involved with scouting, so there's that sense of do a good turn daily. And that there's a concept of it's not just that love is a feeling, love is a virtue, and kindness being part of that love and expanding outward as you connect with people and cultivating that virtue. You know, the Buddhists talk about the cultivation of kindness and of virtues, and it's something that they understand it takes that spiritual practice. And as you said earlier, going back to earlier in this episode, you talking about that word authority, to give yourself authority to act with kindness, to find grace and mercy, and spread that as far as you can.
Exactly. And, you know, when we watch our TVs, sometimes we get permeated with unkindness, not because we're doing something unkind, but our eyes or our ears are soaking up unkind acts.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we really have to go back and redial our frequency.
Because
I've seen people sit in front of the TV and watch the atrocities that are going on, and it just... well, there's nothing I can do. And then we say, okay, take a breath. Be kind to you. And allow your heart to ripple out as best you can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As best you can. Because you're absolutely right. We are human, Willa. And there's some times that, you know, I can get myself because, oh my gosh, you know, this didn't happen or that didn't happen, and I expected it to. And, you know, the funny thing about it is when things seem to be that way, I go into meditation. And I know that you probably do as well. And boy, does that reset my dial.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it doesn't have to be a two-day meditation. It can be, you know, just those moments of breath, you know, that allows us to be able to reset ourselves and start. And if we got to turn off the TV and the news and people being unkind, that's okay.
Yeah, that's a valid point because you there's so many channels out there. People have their phones, the social media, it's bombing them with all kinds of negative energy and imagery. And imagery does kind of play in our brain a little bit too much and starts to set things up energetically. And everyone is sensitive to some extent, but those of you out there that are watching today that are sensitive, like I am sensitive and Patricia is sensitive, then it's good to keep yourself on a diet when it comes to those kinds of things. If it's important, somebody's going to tell you about it, but you don't need to have it in your brain playing back at you again, like on VCR loop, and striking chords in you that are going to persist beyond that particular moment. And we, you know, as sensitives, we do have the responsibility to harness our power and to recognize that we choose what we will amplify or magnify in the world. As mediums, to some extent, we're magnifiers, right? We're magnifiers,
yes,
of energy. And so if we want to perpetuate kindness, watching things that are kind, having that be in your psyche will help you so much in combating the other words, the words of ego and the words of fear and the words of harm, and move into that state of the frequency of presence, the frequency of kindness. And it's not that those things don't happen in the world, it's just we have to be cognizant of what we are then perpetuating within ourselves and getting stirred up unnecessarily. Because that's when people get really, when they get a little squirrely, right? They start acting out. And it's about connection. They need to have connection. You know, like even with child rearing, I go back to that. But when a child's having a meltdown, it's because they need a connection at that point. They need kindness from you at that point. So if you are working with an unkind person or who you think is, they kind of need that space of containment and of a conscious way is the way I would express that. Would you agree, Patricia?
Completely, because it's as though they have lost their tether to their heart.
Right.
And when you are kind, you bring them back home.
Yes.
You know, and for those of us who are sensitive, do your best to surround yourself with beauty during difficult things that you hear or see. But I also like to send out a prayer from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's as though, no, I can't be there in the Ukraine or in Turkey or anything like that, but I sure can send out a prayer. And that's the wonderful part about whether it's mediumship is healing. All of this is healing. It's about healing and love and kindness that we share with one another. And by saying that silent prayer or, you know, that shifts us again to our spiritual practice.
Yeah.
Because we can't be everywhere at one time. And but yet we can.
I know, it's a paradox. It's a paradox.
It is.
Oh, this has been wonderful. Is there any last thoughts that you'd like to share with folks about living in the vibration of kindness?
I believe that by living in a vibration of kindness, we attract miracles.
Mm.
Just by us being able to vibrate on that frequency. You know, maybe we have a grudge, but yet when we're kind to them, we shift that. That can be a miracle. That can also be a time in where, you know, our inner self, recognizing our inner self and our spiritual practice. Oh my gosh, what a miracle that is.
Mm-hmm.
That we have that opportunity of understanding that during this lifetime, we can connect with that all the in a way that is fabulous.
I appreciate those words very much. And I know people who are tuning in today also appreciate them. You know, please leave your kind comments on the show. And if there are things that you really feel have been an act of kindness in your particular life, you know, share with us a sentence or two about what that was that really made the difference for you when someone was kind. Or there was a kind act that you did for someone else, that you really felt that you were in that vibration of kindness. So when we think back on those things, we're able to call in that particular vibrational frequency and always have a as a home base in our recognition of energy and